News Radio 1350, KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Manhattan Mayor Yu Sciarretti and City Manager Ron Fear, want to remind folks, as always, phone lines are open, 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. And getting to the agenda, I know one item that isn't actually listed on the agenda, but we have pretty good confirmation that will likely come up during public comments. We decided to just get this out of the way at the beginning and, you know, and then move on to some of the other items on the agenda. But we're hearing a lot about Buck, a dog, of course, that is being held at T. Russell Wright's. And just want to get the city's official perspective on it. I mean, the word that we're hearing is dog reportedly bit a little girl a couple of times, being held for quarantine to be sure no rabies issues. And nothing will be done with the dog for a while. But I'll let you, I don't know, Ron, if you want to comment.
Thanks, Kathy. Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation where Buck is a German short hair pointer. We think probably 4 to 5 years old. He was picked up as a stray near the dam in Riley County and had to go through the typical time at the shelter to try and create an opportunity for the previous owner to reclaim it before it was put up for adoption, and the family did adopt it. There was a lot of interest in the pup. There was actually an individual that was going to adopt it and then decided to step aside and let another family adopt the animal. And so it did bite a little girl, and because of that, we've got a pretty specific protocol that we go through, and obviously he's being, we had no knowledge of him having a rabies vaccination, and our protocol is that we allow the adopting family to establish a relationship with their own vet to get that rabies certificate done within a certain period of time as part of that adoption process. And so we did take the animal back, and the owner did surrender it back to us, and we're holding it. That quarantine expires at the end of this week, May 5th, and we're investigating the circumstances surrounding it. You know, what's the history of this animal, and we want to make sure we get those facts to the detail that we can and make an appropriate decision accordingly. So there's a lot of interest. You know, this, again, was a popular dog when it was being held at the shelter. A lot of people interacted with it, as well as staff. So, you know, it's, you know, what caused that situation to occur. That's part of what we're investigating. And, you know, if folks that know a history of this, that's one of the things we've been trying to look forward with, because when he was picked up at large, he was in pretty decent shape. So whether he was just got loose from somewhere or whether he was actually dumped, and then found. So those are, and how long was he in the wild, and how did he act, how did he eat, you know, all of those issues. But there's a lot of things that influence it, obviously, we're being very very cautious and deliberate.
And I know, of course, he does have its laws. A couple of things on social media, just to clarify, and if you can't comment, I'm sure you'll tell me so.
Sure.
But one indication was that apparently the dog had been neutered just the day before he was adopted, so there were questions about that. And then also, supposedly, the family involved with the little girl did suggest that this other individual, this Chris Hupin, I believe is his name, should go back and adopt Buck, you know, since they weren't able to deal with the dog. Now, I don't know how much of this, and of course, that puts a little bit different slant to it, but I'm sure you still have your city laws to abide by.
So on the neutering, that is pretty typical. The animal, actually, this family was there and interacted, and I think Chris may have been too, on Saturday, while it was still in its waiting period. We try to one of our policies, though, is to neuter animals that haven't been, and we have a veterinary service that does that, and the typical veterinary protocol for that is 1 day of after the surgery for males, 3 days for females. And obviously the folks felt like it was okay, that went well, and felt like that was there was, again, a lot of interest from folks that were interested in the animal.
Any comments from you, Mayor, at all? Or?
Yeah, you know, this kind of took a life of its own, and there's lots of stories floating around. And I think as we get through all the details, and like I said, no decision has been made, and it is being looked at from all aspects of it, from Fort Riley, because they were living on Fort Riley on base, getting our notes together. So we're trying to still work out all the kinks in it. It's a very sensitive issue, and I understand why people are extremely passionate about this, about Buck and about the situation itself, and as well as us. You know, we are very concerned what happens, especially not knowing all the details. But at the same time, I fear that there's too many rumors going around, and I don't want people to blame our staff at the animal shelter, because it's a very emotional situation, and these people come to work every single day, and they do so many things taking care of the animals in there, and it's not just dogs, it's an array of animals, and we don't want them to feel threatened to come to work. So I think even though it is such a sensitive issue, to make sure it's not mean-spirited, we are going to do what's in the best interest of Buck as well as the community. So nothing's been decided, and we're still working through everything.
We do have a caller. I thought we might. And let's go ahead and take a call. Welcome in Focus, your question or comment for the mayor and city manager.
Good morning. I just have a couple of comments, and I'm sure they've all been made before. But I have 5 grand dogs. I don't have a dog of my own, but I've always been around them. And I can understand if that was my grandchild or my child that was bitten, I might feel differently. But I sure know that pets are really a part of the family. So I hope that it is in the best interest of the dog. And I know rules are made to not be bent. But I think this time it maybe could be bent a little bit. So thank you for your time in talking about it.
Appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate the call. You know, one of the issues we face here is that, you know, we have, and there's been rescues and shelters. You know, one of the things that we've worked hard, the staff at the animal shelter over the last 7 years, is to really change our focus and minimize the number of animals that we have to put down. We have a very high, successful, about an 80% adoption rate, and some of that is getting it to rescues. But some of the rescues that we typically work with, in placing animals, if there's an animal with a bite history, they're very reluctant, or their insurance won't cover them to take it. So that's the liability for the future is a big component that we're weighing in all of this. But appreciate the call.
Absolutely.
Another phone call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning. I'll be very brief. I think if common sense would have prevailed, we wouldn't be having this discussion at the city commission level. I think we have bigger fish to fry than that deal. And when you have a dog that just had surgery and a child grabs it, what's the dog going to do? Same thing I'd do if it grabbed me. I'd bite them. I'll just hang up and listen to your comments. But common sense would really go a long ways.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate the input.
Yes.
And I'm sure you'll get lots of input tonight.
Yes,
so, again, 537-1350. Moving along to what actually was on the agenda for tonight, I know a couple major items there, one having to do with a portion of South 8th Street, and I'll let Ron lead off.
Sure. Thank you, Kathy. This is an item that was actually tabled by the commission previously, and it revolves around a request by Howie's Recycling Services and Howie's Enterprises to expand services at this location on South 8th Street. They've purchased some of the property there. They want to focus on an electronics recycling center at this location. The area there currently is zoned light manufacturing service commercial district, and they had some action at the BZA scheduled when this was originally at the commission, and it hadn't occurred yet. And so the commission, that was the primary reason that the commission wanted to table the item. They wanted the applicant to go through the formal process. Of course, the Board of Zoning Appeals is a quasi-judicial board, and the commission's not involved in that decision-making process. And so the Board of Zoning Appeals did meet on April 12th, and they did approve a conditional use for this type of operation to occur in the LMSC zone. And then they also approved several exceptions to the front, side, and rear yard setbacks to allow the property owner to use more of the existing property. The request to the City Commission is to vacate a portion of South 8th Street, essentially from El Paso Lane, which is essentially like the alley, where the alley would be, to Fort Riley Boulevard. And so about a half block section there. They are the property owner on both sides, with the exception of one small residential component or property on the west. And so this would allow them to have more utilization. 8th Street dead ends. There's no access to Fort Riley Boulevard, not planned to have any access to Fort Riley Boulevard at that location. So, you know, it really is a very low utilized street in that sense. We are recommending approval, but we are also recommending the preservation of a utility easement there for both the city and private utilities.
And really just the one property owner involved, it sounded
correct.
Like.
Correct, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mayor?
Yeah, no, this is not a very controversial issue. I think we vetted it quite a bit, and this is why we have our boards and the Board of Zoning Appeals. It's a three-member committee, and I think they vetted it pretty well. And again, I think we can always use another place for Howie's and their electronics recycling center. So I expect there to be some discussion on it, but I think it's probably pretty good as it is right now.
I guess so. The other item on the agenda is kind of interesting. The other item on that agenda, the way it's, I don't know that I've ever seen it quite worded this way. It's kind of a grouping of things. I guess they're all sort of related to each other, but I'll let Ron explain.
So this is, as you said, three really separate items. They all deal with the Parks and Recreation Feasibility Study Report, which the commission reviewed at its last, at an earlier work session. And then also the recommendations of the steering committee to put a ballot question on this November's ballot, essentially renewing the existing quality of life sales tax. I say renewing, they technically have to terminate the existing sales tax early, and that sales tax has raised more revenue than anticipated and really met all of the requirements needed for the outdoor aquatic and swimming pool facilities that it was passed for, as well as the zoo exploration place at Sunset Zoo. And one of the things with the zoo, though, is that there was a call originally for some additional parking and some other improvements at the zoo, and we believe that there'll be, even terminating the sales tax early, there'll be enough revenue there to help create some additional parking and some funds to go towards the Asia exhibit that currently the zoo is fundraising for. So that's a possibility for that. Specifically, there's three actions, as I was stating. One, to formally accept the Parks and Recreation Feasibility Study Report, and then consider resolution to adopt the ballot language for the quality of life sales tax question, which would actually go on the ballot then in November of this year. For the public to vote on. And then we also have a draft of an ordinance to rescind the current 2009 quarter cent sales tax. And it's a little tricky how this pieces together, because what we're hoping to do and what we're recommending to do is that it's just kind of a seamless thing. You don't drop a quarter percent for a few months and then add a new quarter percent, assuming that the bond issue passes. Now, obviously, if it doesn't, there would be a reduction. So, but the timing here is done so in a mechanism to try and create a situation where the sales tax, if it was approved in November, it couldn't. We just did this with the street sales tax, the street maintenance sales tax, and so it doesn't really become effective until April 1st. And so keeping this one in effect until that date would mean that the commission would have to pass an ordinance to eliminate it on that timeline.
Let's go ahead and take a quick phone call. We're actually a little bit overdue for a break, but let's take that call. Welcome in Focus. Go ahead, please.
Well, when you're down there talking about the tricky on the sales tax, I noticed down there at the end of the list of things, it's putting the trail along top of the levee. Well, now you got to raise that levee 3 feet and replace that trail. Then we've run out of money.
So most of the trail components that are envisioned with the bond issue are trails that would serve some of the new improvements. So the couple of the improvements are in new indoor facilities adjacent to Anthony Middle School and Eisenhower. The master plan for the linear park calls for the trail to be extended along Marlette Avenue, and so the focus here is to is to improve pedestrian and bicycle access to these facilities that are being voted on.
And so it has nothing to do with the levy.
Really doesn't. I mean, the linear park's already on the levy. You know, the Congress has approved the levy fix for as a future project. They haven't provided, they haven't budgeted any money for it yet. They haven't appropriated any money, but it's been authorized. So when that happens, the levee will be raised along the Blue River section, and the trail on top of the levee obviously would be closed during that time and will have to be relayed on top of it. So that would be a pretty simple process. But we're always working on ways. We have a project that should begin later this year that will create a bicycle pedestrian path basically from the intersection of Hayes and Casement and tie into the levee trail there and take it along the lime basins for the water treatment plant down to McCall and Tuttle Creek Boulevard and create a pedestrian crossing at that current signal. So appreciate the caller's input on that particular thing, but just clarifying that. There's also a component in the question is improvements at Seco Park. And so there would be improvements to the trails within Seco Park and also some of the trails leading to Seco Park.
Let's go. I want to get the mayor's take, but let's go ahead and take a break. We're overdue, 9:22. And again, we have with us today Manhattan Mayor Hugh Chiaretti, City Manager Ron Fear. Do appreciate all the phone calls.
Yeah,
already three phone calls this morning. 537-1350 if you have questions or comments, or toll-free 866-776-1350. You're listening to In Focus.
Your KMAN Morning Show has been brought to you by your locally owned Mary Maids, a clean that measures up.